What's up, Compass? Morning. How about the old University of Arizona? Yo, Final Four, baby? Like, let's go. I mean, I've lived here for like 5 years. Can I like own the good things of here? Like, you know what I mean? Like when we win, like we win. I don't know if the Arizona Cardinals will ever win, but. Great. All right. Hey, just a couple things. So, truly, take advantage of this week in your moments with Jesus. I just encourage you, Easter, or the Resurrection Sunday is what I prefer to call it, Resurrection Sunday, like will be way more impactful if you just get to know a little bit of Jesus every day, come to our Good Friday service, like reflect on the cross, reflect on the sin, the reason why he had to die, and then come and celebrate, man, Resurrection Sunday. And I do have a favor to ask of y'all. If you've been coming to Compass for a while, like you call Compass your home, if it's possible to either come at 6:30. I love that. I love the 11 a.m. Like 6:30, you're like, maybe 8 a.m., I don't know. But honestly, the other service you can come, like, so the 12:30 service, just so you all know, like, it's not recorded. So honestly, like if you really want to like hear me at like my rawest, like I kind of like contain my language here, you know what I mean? But like 12:30 could be a fun service for y'all. So just saying. If you could push maybe 8 a.m. or maybe 12:30 that 1 week, that'd be incredible, helpful. If you can't, that's fine. We will have overflow and all this kind of stuff. So just incredibly thankful for y'all and excited for what God has for us. We're going to hand these out at the end. I'm inviting you, so come back. But really, I also want to encourage you. I mean, it really is a great time to invite a friend to come to get to know more about Jesus. And, people are just more open in these weeks to be able to come, you know, to a service. So I would love to have you do that this week. And let me pray. Lord Jesus, thank you so much for today. Lord Jesus, some of us are like sitting here and like we're honestly kind of considering, you know, possibly walking away from you. So some of us are here and we have just been like trying to overcome an addiction or trying to overcome like in a general statement, like we just want to get better. And Lord Jesus, I pray through your word today, through the Holy Spirit, you're going to stir in our hearts to know that how we can be stronger in our walk with you, how we can have stronger marriages, how we can just be more connected and close to you. We love you. Give it all to you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. So you're going to walk into my bedroom closet this morning. We're going to get a little intimate this morning. We're not going to talk about Michelle's side of the closet. We'll only talk about my side of the closet. But if you walked in to my bedroom closet, you would see stacks of like T-shirts. You'd see some photo albums on the top shelf. And then you'd see like stackfuls of sweatshirts and sweaters. And I walk into the bedroom closet probably for the last 3 years just going, man, do I want to get rid of stuff. But I don't. But I walk in there and I'm like, I've not worn that shirt for 5 years. And it's still there. Like, I have sweaters. Like, I'm coming from Chicago. I have sweaters that I used to wear, like, almost every day. I have not worn a sweater in Arizona for 3 years, I don't think. Like, it's insane. Like, I have sweatshirts representing, like, old schools of my daughter that she doesn't even go to anymore that I don't really care about. And I'm like, why do I even have, like, I'll never wear that thing. Like if you could do, like, an inventory, like, of your own closet, if you could do an inventory of your life, what would you get rid of? Well, what do you need to grow in? Where do you want to like just get a little bit better at? I want to be a little bit more patient. I have so much respect for patient people. I'm a driven person, so like I want patience now. You know what I mean? I don't want to be patient for patient. You know, I want it now. Michelle and I, Michelle's my wife. Michelle and I went to the Dodgers spring training game this last week, and we were after the game. Everybody comes out, and like it was packed. And then we're like trying to get out of the stadium, and that's always just a crazy show, you know. I mean, it's just merging from all over the places. And I'm from Chicago. A reality is, man, you got to earn your merge. You got to earn your merge. If you're like gonna sit there, like you ain't coming in. Like it just is what it is. Like you got to move for me to let you in. Or if you don't move, like you don't want it enough. You know what I'm saying? And so we're in this line, and I'm just going, and there's cars that want to kind of get in, but they're like sitting there, and I'm like, well, I mean, you're too kind. I don't know what to say to you. Like, you're not getting in. And Michelle was like, can you just let people in? I'm like, no. Like, I started letting people in. I'm going to obey my wife. So I'm like, that's just kind of the way I am. So I want to be more patient. I want to have more self-control. I have a tendency just to indulge in things, maybe a little bit too much. I don't want to get into my details of my life, but let's just think of a buffet. As since COVID, there really are no buffets. So let's think of a Brazilian steakhouse, a little fugo de chao. You know what I mean? Something like that. You know what I'm saying? And by the way, you can take me if you want to buy anytime. So if we went to a Brazilian steakhouse, there's this moment where you're full. And you're kind of like, you got to go more. Like, it's free at that point. Like, we're just going to keep going and going and going until I'm almost throwing up. Right? I mean, like, I just wish I had an ability to say no to some things in my life. So listen, but listen, when it comes to when I walk with Jesus, maybe you're new to like your relationship with Jesus. Maybe you're watching online for the first time. Like you're just trying to engage. Like the Christian life is so much more than just behavior and doing the right things. It's about like who you're becoming. It's about the man you're becoming, the woman you're becoming. So listen, I want to become more like Jesus. So just think of these. This is what I'm trying to say. Like if you sat down with maybe some of your, if you're single, maybe some of your closest friends, you sit down with them. Maybe you have a family and you can have a little family dinner. But if you ask yourself, like, give me three words that describe me, that's who you're becoming. Who you're becoming is found not just, like, in behaviors, but it's found in, like, what do you value? What are the values that drive you? What are the values that drive your family? And church, I don't know about you, but I want to become more and more like Jesus every day. So the question kind of becomes for us, like, how do I become more like Jesus? Like, how can I be a better husband? How can I be a better wife? How can I be a better dad? Like, we think of these things, and we try to, like, force ourselves. Like, we're like, I'm going to be more patient, I swear. You know what I mean? Like, we try these things. So let me just say this. So put yourself in the shoes of the disciples that last night that they were with Jesus. It was a chaotic night. I mean, Jesus sits down at this meal and says, one of you is going to betray me. I mean, put yourself there. You're going to betray Jesus. And then the questions keep coming, and Jesus looks at Peter, says, you're going to deny me three times. I mean, we don't know what Peter experienced in that moment. But just put yourself, like, I'm just saying, if Jesus would say to me, you're going to deny me three times in the next 5 hours, I would be like, what is going, like, I'd be thinking about that nonstop. But the night continues, and Jesus says to the disciples, people are going to know that you are my disciples by the way you love each other. Okay, so now you start thinking like, okay, I can't betray Jesus. I don't want to deny Jesus. I mean, I've got to love these dudes. Like, how am I going to love these dudes? And then Jesus is going away. Like, and then he's like, bring the kingdom of God to everybody. And all of a sudden, maybe, I don't know, like, as you reflect on it, I just begin to think like, there's this weight. Like, how do I do better? How do I love people? How do I forgive people? How do I bring the good news of Jesus to people? Like, how do I? In the midst of that chaos, Jesus says this last I am statement that will absolutely change your life. In the midst of that chaos, in the midst of like the burden, in the midst of like Jesus leaving, and yet I got to love people and I got to do this, and where are we going to go and what are we going to do and how are we going to do this? Jesus says this, I am the vine. You are a branch. Whatever you do, remain in me, abide in me, trust me, believe me. When your life is like out of control, when you begin to feel the weight of the world on your shoulders as a dad, when you begin to think of your marriage and you're like, are we going to make it another day? When you begin to think about like raising kids, man, being a single adult is freaking hard. I'm just imagine like maybe the loneliness and maybe what you want to have and what you already have. And then you go on a date and then will the guy call back? Does a girl want to go on another date? Like you have all these things going on and then you're single and you're like, how am I going to do this? Like, how do I get to be a little more Jesus? Like, we all have our issues. Those of you who are newly married, man, you gotta live with a freaking boy now. Like, that's brutal. They smell, they stink. I mean, like, what do you do with that? And then girls, like, they're so sensitive and they cry at times. And you're like, I don't know what to do with crying, you know? And then you get little kids and all of a sudden you have little kids and like, then your marriage is really challenging. And you're like, man, being young married was already hard. Now we got another little thing around here. And he won't let me sleep. You know what I mean? Like trying to have conflict when you're like sleep deprived. Like that's no fun. And so you got all that stuff going on. And then like you get more like to my age and you have like these midlife crises and you get to these places in your 40s and you're just like, is my life worth anything? Like have I done anything in this life? You know what I'm saying? You're like, what in the... And then you get seasoned, and like you're a mess, like your body's breaking down, you don't know what's, you can hardly see anymore. Like, I don't want to get there. But we all got our stuff. And yet for all of us, I think we're like, man, I wish I could be a better husband. I wish I could be a better wife. I wish I could follow Jesus more. Man, I wish I could be more patient, more kind, more gentle. If I could just have more self-control, if I could just get rid of that addiction, If I could just forgive. And we start thinking of all these behaviors and who we're becoming. And Jesus is telling all of us today, man. Jesus is saying, listen, I'm the vine. You're a branch. Your role is to remain in me. If you want to be more patient, remain in me. If you want to be a better husband, remain in me. If you want to be a stronger wife, remain in me. If you want to be a young single adult man who's like living life for Jesus, remain in me. Stop trying to do it on your own. Stop trying to be like this man of God and like you put all this stuff on you. Remain in Jesus, man. Let him change you from the inside out. Open your Bibles to John chapter 15. And we're going to see this last I am statement. The disciples, at the end of John chapter 14, the disciples rise. Jesus is like, hey, let's rise up. You can just imagine at the dinner table, let's rise and let us go. And as Jesus is walking through the streets of Jerusalem, it's possible that he sees a vineyard and he begins to share the story. It's possible Josephus, the historian, writes about that on the temple. There was a vine with a cluster of grapes. Like maybe as they walked by the temple, Jesus saw the vine and grapes and fruit. You know, we don't fully know, but all we know is Jesus is the life giver. Jesus is the vine. Three ways to become more fruitful in your life. If you want to be a little bit more kind, if you want to have a little bit more joy in your life, If you want to like be able to forgive somebody, three ways to become a little more fruitful in your life. Number one, remain connected to Jesus. Like remain connected, abide, trust him. In your everyday, in your every moments, remain with him. We're just going to look at verses 1-5. Jesus says this. So it's once again, they're like walking, they're going towards the Garden of Gethsemane. And he says, I am the true vine. Remember, like the disciples are in this place of chaos. How are we going to love people more? How are we going to do this? 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 Jesus is like, listen, guys, I'm the true vine. My Father's the vine dresser. Every branch in me that does not bear fruit, he takes away. Every branch that does bear fruit, he prunes, that it may bear more fruit. Already you are clean because of the word that I've spoken to you, so abide in me, and I in you. As the branch cannot bear fruit by itself unless it abides in the vine, neither can you unless you abide in me. I am the vine. You are the branches. Whoever abides in me and I in him, he it is that bears much fruit. For apart from me, you can do nothing. We can do nothing that is going to last for eternity without Jesus. You can't impact lives for eternity without Jesus. You can't become a godly father without Jesus. You can't become a woman of God without Jesus. And rather than getting messed up in all the rules and all the regulations and all the, I got to have more joy and I got to have more patience, remain connected to Jesus. Abide in him. Trust in him. Rest in him. Your relationship with him. It becomes everything. And we've got to keep going back to abiding him. So how do we abide? How do we remain? How do we stay connected? Because let me just tell you something. Everything in this world, including your sinfulness, and you have a spiritual enemy, everything wants to pull you away. Right? Like when we're starting to like behave in ways we know we shouldn't be, do you want to go meet Jesus? Heck no. You want to get as far away from him as you possibly can, right? Like that's what shame does. That's what guilt does. Like we want to run from Jesus rather than getting in. And he's saying, listen, remain in me. How do we remain? How do we abide? Here's one of the phrases I wrote down. Proximity matters. Be near Jesus. In your everyday, have conversations with him. Talk with him throughout the day. I talk to Jesus all the time. It's just this constant conversation that I have. Even in my mess, even when I don't know, like honestly, people, I'm going to be honest with y'all. Like, even when like I know I'm about to like do something I shouldn't, I'm still talking. That's how we abide. You abide by in the mess. When you do sin and screw up, you repent. You confess it to Jesus. You repent. You turn back. And listen, people, he's faithful and just will forgive you. There's nothing Jesus won't forgive. And when you repent, you're abiding. You're trusting. You're resting. Verse 10, your obedience matters. What you do matters. Jesus calls us to forgiveness. Forgive people. Jesus calls us to kindness. Be kind. Jesus calls you to love people. That's how like people will know you're his disciple. Love people. Jesus called, and I think it's the first or second Timothy, we have the word of God, right? To like rebuke people, to challenge people, to help them become more like Jesus. Let's obey him. Let's follow him. Those obedience. When you obey Jesus, you remain connected to the vine. Surround yourself with people who love Jesus, especially in the darkest times. In the darkest times, we want to walk away. The last 6 months have probably been some of the hardest of my life. I'm just navigating all the things, Compass, with the building, personal stuff, whatever. You don't need to know my details. All I can tell you is the last 2 months, I've reached out to more people, like people back from Chicago, people here. There's this pastor that works out at the place that I work out at. He doesn't even really know me, but I know he's a pastor. And I'm like, dude, can you just pray for me? And he's like, what do you want me to pray for you for? And I'm like, I'm not telling you yet. You know, like, that's fine. Just pray for me. It's okay. You know, like surround yourself with people. Show up at things, man. Show up on Sunday mornings. Like this isn't the church, by the way. You're the church. We are the church. Not a worship service. But show up. Show up at life group when you don't want to. There are times I don't want to show up at life group. Show up anyway. Show up. And here's my final thing, man. Whatever you do, persevere. Whatever, like I'm telling you, man, like make a commitment today. Like I've made a commitment to Jesus. And I said, whatever. Listen, I don't know how great of a pastor I'll ever be. I don't know how great of a husband or dad. I've always told Jesus, I was like, whatever it is, I'm never giving up on you. Like persevere no matter what. No matter where your life takes you, man, persevere with Jesus. Abide in him. And then that's how we abide. But then what will we see in our life? What's biblical fruit? You know what I mean? Like what does fruit look like in our life? Galatians 5:22 is the easiest place to go where you see the fruit, by the way, not the fruits, the fruit. It's like a cluster of grapes, the fruit of the Spirit. This is what you'll see in your life. When you abide in Jesus, listen to this, you're gonna experience love. You're gonna experience joy. I mean, how beautiful is that? Like, you can live with joy even in the midst of suffering. I love that. I love joy. You can have joy when you're abiding in Jesus. When you're abiding in Jesus, you have peace. You have patience. You have kindness. There's goodness. There's faithfulness. There's gentleness. There's self-control. I mean, listen, if you want to be a more gentle father, spend more time with Jesus. If you want to be a stronger man of God, spend more time with Jesus. So, when I was younger, I think I was like 6 or 7, I don't remember exactly, but my parents, it's pretty funny. I was raised in a Christian home. My parents took me to a haunted house. And would you ever take your 7-year-old to a haunted house? I don't know. And then we wouldn't do that today's world anyway. And then the haunted house was actually put on by a ministry of like a Christian ministry, which is even more funny when you think about it all. So I remember being like in the season, the first thing they did was like a video. And I remember like watching this video. And I remember being scared to death. Like before I even walked into the haunted house, like I was scared to death. And then as you get closer to the door to walk into the haunted house, you start hearing chains banging, you know, against walls. You're like, what is that? Chainsaws? I'm like, what? Like, am I going to get cut in half, Dad? Like, what's happening? Like, and then you walk in and it's like all dark and you can't really see anything. And then there's like flashing lights, which make you even like more crazy. Like you can't see. And then you like walk around like dark corners, like things like reach out at you. And then there's like the crazy clowns. Those crazy clowns like freak me out. And so the whole time, like before I go in, I go up to my dad and I get near him. I'm like, Dad, like, how am I going to make it through this haunted house? You may be asking right now, how am I going to make it through the next day? You may be asking, like, how am I going to make it through the next week? How am I going to make it through the next year? Like, you said, looking at your future, you're like, how am I going to do this stuff? And I remember, like, my dad said this, son, you didn't give me a list of rules. You didn't give me directions to follow. He just said, son, stay near me, and I'll get you through the house. God says to you and me, abide in me, and I'll get you through this life. Trust me, rest in me, receive me. 3 ways to become more fruitful. Remain connected to Jesus. Number 2, trust that Jesus is for you. Look at verses 1 and 2. I am the true vine, and my Father is the vine dresser. The vine dresser means the gardener. My grandfather was a gardener. After he retired, he had a garden in our backyard. And my grandfather lived next door to me as I grew up. And my grandfather would wake up every morning and he'd go through the garden and he'd like till the soil and make it rich and fruitful and put air. He'd pull out all the weeds. If any of the like the vegetables or the fruit was kind of under the dirt, like he'd pick it up, he'd prune, you know, the bushes to make it more full. Like he tended the garden. The Father, our God, the Father God, he tends your life. He inspects it. He walks with you in it. And I want to make sure that there's something really clear this morning. So verse 2 says, every branch in me that does not bear fruit. Okay, we're going to come back to that. But I just, verse 6 speaks of judgment. Verse 6, listen, if you're new to this church, I'm going to do I will always do my best to do all I can to speak truth to you. What does the Word of God say? And then you and I got to deal with what the Word of God says. If I don't deal with what the Word of God says, I'm actually not doing the role that I'm supposed to be doing in your life. Verse 6 is a verse of judgment. Verse 6 says, if anyone does not abide, that's crucial, underline that, does not abide, which means what? If anyone does not trust me, rest in me, right? Follow me. If anyone does not receive me as their Lord and Savior, right? If anyone does not abide in me, he is thrown away like a branch and withers. And the branches are gathered and thrown into the fire and burned. I mean, church, if you have not received Jesus, your future is in a place where there's burning and there's fire and you don't want to go there. When we do not abide in Jesus, that's our future. And like this verse, and Jesus is talking about judgment in that verse 6. Now let's go back to verse 2. But every branch in me that does not bear fruit, he takes away. This can be confusing for us. Because if your life is anything like mine, there's been seasons of your life where you have not seen much fruit. And then we begin to ask, well, if I'm not bearing fruit, then is God just going to cut me off? Verse 2, the Greek word that says take away is a Greek word called ero. And that Greek word, I don't usually talk about all this stuff, but that Greek word is used 24 times in the book of John. 16 times the translation of that word means cut off or take away. So some of your translations may say that. But 8 times that word arrow is used to mean to take up or to lift up. I mean, that's different. In ancient times, the way that grapes were grown, the way vines grew, were in they were laid on the ground. They grew and they laid on the ground. Today, our vines grow, we have a fence or a trellis or a line, so the vines grow up, okay? But in ancient times, the vines would grow in the earth. And then what would happen is the gardener would go out every day and he'd look at the vines. He'd look at the fruit. He'd look at the branches. And what the vine dresser would do, what the gardener would do, is that when a branch was starting to get muddy, was starting to get stuck, was starting to not bearing fruit, when the fruit was starting to get sucked up, that the gardener would actually go out and arrow it. The gardener would actually go out and lift up the branch and dust it off and make it clean and put it up on rocks so that it could flourish. Church, verse 2 should encourage us as followers of Jesus. Because when you and I get stuck, when our branches and we begin to get messy and dusty and dirty, when we begin to live a life where things get covered up on us and our fruit is being strangled out, we have a God who comes alongside of you in your every day, and he lifts you up and wipes you clean so that you can bear more fruit. There's an amazing story, a powerful story in the Old Testament. And it's about King David. King David was one of the most powerful, most dominant kings this world has ever seen. And he's in, and he's ruling, he's been ruling Jerusalem, he's been ruling Israel for years and years and years. And all of a sudden, Absalom, his son, wants to take over his kingdom. I mean, could you just imagine that as a dad? Your son wants to betray you. Your son wants to take your kingdom. And so in Psalm, you can just imagine, and David doesn't want to fight his own son. David is tired. He's gone through so much in his life. He's at the end of his rope. David is like, I don't even know where to go from here. And so David begins to walk out of Jerusalem and begins just to leave the place that he once reigned. And along that journey, just imagine this, along that journey that David is on, I just picture this. He stops and he writes this psalm. He stops and he writes Psalm 3:3. It says this. I'm just imagining him like on some rock, reflecting on life, being like, what in the world? Oh Lord, how many are my foes? Many are rising against me. Many are saying of my soul, there is no salvation for him in God. Just imagine that. That guy, David, that there's no salvation for him. He's nothing. And then he writes verse 3. But you, O Lord, are a shield about me. You are my glory and the lifter of my head. I was talking to some guy the other day. It was actually this pastor guy at a place I work out with. And I just told him, I was like, I feel like at times I'm like in this hole and I'm trying to climb out, and I peek my head out at times and then I like fall down 3 more steps. And then he said this to me. He said, Jesus will lift you up. Church, Jesus is for you. He's not against you. 3 ways to become more fruitful in your life: remain connected, trust that Jesus is for you, and really quickly, realize that pruning is good. I mean, it hurts, and you look ugly, but it's beautiful. Look at verses 1 and 2. Every branch in me that does not bear fruit, he takes, so he lifts up, and then every branch that does bear fruit, he prunes, he cuts it back, that it may bear more fruit. I have a stupid Palo Verde tree in my front yard. I mean, like when it first was planted, I was like, oh, it's so pretty. The yellow flowers come out. It's so cute. Like, oh, look at all the things. I hate that thing. It's a mess. I mean, I can swear about it. Like, it's a mess. And every time I take one of the big branches, I slice it off. Guess what happens? More grow. I mean, we see this in our everyday life. And church, there's some things in your life that God is going to surgically and tenderly cut back in your life so that you will bear more fruit. Because this is what happens to us, church. Sometimes we admire our fruit rather than our amazing God. Sometimes we're more about how we look rather than what's going on the inside. And sometimes your most beautiful branches, where you are bearing fruit, is covering up something inside that needs to be dealt with. And he prunes you to deal with what is going on the inside. He does it with love. Pruning is good. And he does it so that you will bear more fruit. So I'll close with this. I mean, we all go through stuff in life. And I've got 4 adult children, and one of them's married, and then another one is out of college now. And my youngest is my son Micah, and he's a junior in college. And as any junior in college goes through, you just go through rough times. Like, you just go through difficult times, and he's in one of those places. And for our family, Easter is always a little sad, because he's not with us. He stays in Chicago. We don't have enough money to fly him, you know, to Arizona. So he just kind of stays there. But I was talking to him yesterday, And as I'm talking to him, you know, he's just sharing some of the difficult things that he's going through. And as he just shared some of those things, as any normal junior in college would go through, as he just shared some of those things, this is just what I thought as a dad. Like, I'm just like, I just got to get him near me. I just want him back in my house. At that point, it was like, I don't care how much it costs. And so I buy the plane ticket, so he's coming home. And for some of us, right, we're going through difficult times. And you have a father. You have a God who's paid the price by living a life and dying on the cross, being raised from the grave, so that you can come home. And all you got to do is get on that plane. All you got to do is believe in Jesus. And you will experience his love and his forgiveness and his grace. And you'll come back home. Let me pray. Lord Jesus, thanks so much for all you're doing. And Lord, I just pray for those of us who are in a season of struggle, battle, maybe a pruning. Lord Jesus, rather than looking at our behaviors and battling through, Lord Jesus, just may this today, may we just come back and be reconnected to you. You are the true vine. We're branches and you bear the fruit. Lord, help us in this life, man. Thank you for meeting us where we are. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. We all stand. Our prayer team will be up front. We'd love to pray for you. We believe prayer changes things. Next week, Good Friday, 5 and 7 p.m. Make sure you're here. Easter Sunday. We'd love to see all of you. If you're new, step one, right outside these doors to your right hand side. We'd love to give you a coffee mug and say hi. Always remember, you are, we are. See you.